Okay, so let's start. Hi,
Yes,
Naman.
sir.
Good to have you on this conversation. So, just as an intro, Naman, you're part of the first batch of Cosmofluencers, so it's great to have you on this conversation. This topic, the topic we're going to have today is essentially on the latest successful launch of ISRO, right? The LVM3, which launched the OneWeb constellation. Let's start discussing on that. But before that, just why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, sir, sure. So I am Naman Seth, and I am very delighted to be in the first batch of Cosmofluencers. I am studying first year BTech in Aerospace Engineering from KIIT University.
Okay, so
Yes, sir.
that's pretty cool. So aerospace engineering. Tell me something more about what you are doing there and what's your specializations, what's your interests?
So, as in, I am in first year as of now, and I feel it quite like interesting subjects in aerospace engineering going forward. And what I think I'll do in the future is probably join ISRO.
Oh, lovely. That's very different from what normally engineering students around the country want to do. So that's pretty impressive. Good stuff, Naman. So let's talk about this, Naman. I think this has been an interest of yours ever since you got interested in astronomy, right? The whole ISRO and its works, basically space exploration and humankind's foray into it, not just what is there in the universe. LVM3 was a fascinating story, and it's the GSLE Mark III, which has been renamed now for its general purpose activities. So
Correct.
why don't you tell me a little bit about the LVM3 and what's its significance in general, not specifically with this launch, but in general.
Okay, so LVM3 is nothing but GSLV Mark III, just renamed into LVM3 for the purpose of commercial missions. So LVM3 would focus more on commercial missions, sending satellites to low Earth orbits, which is around 1200 kilometers. So LVM3 is more focused into bringing money into ISRO and solving budget issues, which are like they are getting solved after much of time. And yeah, that would be the significance of LVM3. Talking about GSLV Mark III, GSLV Mark III has been an excellent launch vehicle, and it will lead ISRO in Gaganyaan missions, which is first human space mission of ISRO. And yeah, so that would be a manned mission, which is obviously a big leap in space exploration.
That's right. So this is actually quite a beast, right? This rocket. It is our heaviest launch vehicle from India, and obviously it doesn't yet compare to the monsters that NASA has had or has, like the Saturn V or the current SLS rockets too. But it still is a huge thing, and the fact that it's being used in a for a commercial purpose, it kind of changes the whole paradigm, right? Because ISRO, being what it is, a government-funded agency. The influx of additional capital really helps in, expanding its missions and starting to look beyond what budget constraints allow it to. So I think that has been something which is quite interesting. But beyond that, also in the research and exploration side, which like you mentioned, the Gaganyaan. This is going to be, is there anything else which is going to come up, or is this the marquee launch vehicle for all our big projects? Because from what I understand, this is going to be the launch vehicle for Chandrayaan 3, for
Correct.
Shukrayaan, for I'm guessing even L1 will have this, Aditya L1 will
Yeah.
have this. But what's the story behind this? Is there something else which is going to come up, or is this going to be our flagship?
So as of now, I don't think it's yet clear from ISRO that they will come up with another launch vehicle. They have actually come up with SSLV, which is like mostly for small satellites. But this beast won't be matched in near future. And yeah, they might after some time they might launch more variants of it, but GSLV would be GSLV.
That's true. I think the differentiator here is the payload capacity, which is like colossal compared to your SSLV or even the previous
PSLV.
The previous stars of the office row, right? Like PSLV.
Correct.
And so on.
Correct.
So this one. So tell me something about the latest launch, because the latest launch was the OneWeb constellation, where 36 satellites were launched in one shot. The number of satellites, while it looks big, it's not the big achievement, right? Because ISRO has launched 100 plus satellites in one single launch too earlier.
Correct.
That was a PSLV launch, if I'm not mistaken. So this, what is the significance of this particular launch which happened last week?
So first of all, it is a commercial launch which would bring in capital to ISRO. And secondly, it is quite a big hit to space race, because the 121 satellites, I think, which was launched by PSLV, were very, very small satellites. Yeah, that set a world record, and yes, that was a legendary thing. But if we talk into big satellites, 36 satellites of OneWeb. OneWeb is basically a company for providing internet services to areas where you can't reach or are remote. So OneWeb satellites, those satellites are quite heavy. And to launch 36 satellites, it is a big thing in the commercial market too.
Right, yeah. So from what I understood, it was something around 6,000 kg, which was the payload of the latest the mission which just happened last week. I remember discussing this with someone a little earlier from ISRO, who mentioned that I think the cost of launch is around 20 lakh rupees per kg. That's what the going rate at ISRO was before this launch. I think after this launch, it kind of gets to be a little cheaper because of the sheer capacity of it, right? So tell me one thing. So this has the capability of launching satellites to the geostationary orbit.
Correct.
But I think this launch was not up to the GSO, right? It was to the low Earth orbit.
Yes.
Is that something which is that's by design, or is it that's the capacity for this payload?
No, so it's kind of by design too, and also the capacity. So OneWeb wanted their satellites to be launched in low Earth orbits so that it would be easier to communicate and reach out to remote areas of the Earth. And secondly, the lower you go, the more the payload increases. So if you go into geosynchronous orbit with around 1,000 tons, and with the same vehicle you would be able to go in low Earth orbit at around 1,200 tons.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's a fuel efficiency story, right? You have this much fuel, would you go far, or would you take more and go?
Correct.
So let's come to OneWeb, and that's another fascinating story. From what it looks like, OneWeb is essentially the competition for Starlink, right? So Starlink had its objective of launching, I think, 13,000 satellites, of which I think 3,000 are already up and more are going up. Of course, Starlink has its in-house launch vehicle capacity. So unlike that, OneWeb, could you just throw a little more light on OneWeb and what they are aiming to do?
So OneWeb is basically a company that is focused on communications, and it is basically headquartered in London, and 30% of its shares are 30% of its shares are owned by Bharti Enterprises, which is an Indian company.
Right, so it's basically your Airtel network which is going up then.
Correct.
Or a sister concern of the Airtel network.
Correct.
If you want to put it that way.
Yeah. So OneWeb would OneWeb is, what OneWeb is doing according to me is trying out different different space agencies and seeing which would be the most efficient and the best one. Like they have tried out many other space agencies and then come here. And yeah, so OneWeb actually designs satellites. It is okay. It is a joint venture with Airbus Defence and Space.
Oh, okay, all right. So this is, it's steeped in the universe of space companies already with Airbus, and it's linking in aerospace already been there. So tell me one thing now. Everyone knows about Starlink because, well, it's part of the Elon Musk family of companies, right? So everyone has known about that. OneWeb was obviously has not made as much of a splash in the news as compared to Starlink, but it's interesting to know that a lot of other companies are also building up, the satellite internet access mode of communication. And they'll be sending, I think this is going to have something like 500 or 600 satellites which are going up, right? That's part of the OneWeb constellation.
Correct.
Is there anyone else also who's going to do this? Because that kind of creates a lot of satellite constellations out there, right?
Yeah, so as of now, I don't have much information about that. But... Okay.
But tell me one thing. Now, we are talking about, say, 1,000 of these satellites going up, and we know the 13,000 of Starlink which are going up. Let's say even 2-3 other companies come in, right? So you're talking about another 2-3,000 satellites which are going up, which are just basically going to be roaming around the skies, right? Obviously, in fixed orbits. What's the story behind that? Is there going to be, that'll just clutter up your night sky, whether it's just, space debris or... objects there colliding with each other, being hazardous, or just plain stargazing hindrance. You'll be looking up at the sky and suddenly you'll see a lot of dots moving around, which is not something even 20 years ago or people could experience. Correct. So what is the future here?
So as I told, OneWeb actually specializes for getting internet to remote areas. Areas where you can't reach by foot, or areas where you actually can't provide that internet access. We all live in cities.
The wired internet access, right?
Correct. Yeah. We all live in cities and we have much well-known internet access. But even SpaceX Starlink plans the same. Okay. And this is for this is basically for capital. Because no one has yet been able to provide internet to remote areas. Once they start providing internet, it would be like income of money to these companies.
Right. So would you think that this could be the future of the internet? Because right now we have undersea cables and, that's a whole ecosystem which is built up there.
Correct.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry there. But if you go up to the sky, that changes a lot of things. It's basically reinventing another, the whole industry. So if that turns out to be the future, then you're looking at much, like let's assume OneWeb is hugely successful. Mm-hmm. And so therefore capital starts flowing in, and then you have everyone launching their own constellation up there. This could be a big deal, right? When in the whole concept of internet access.
Correct. So yeah, after some time there would be many satellites roaming around in space, and yes, there are many problems caused to stargazers and all, but in the name of development, I guess this would be a good thing.
Correct.
Because it would find us with more faster internet.
And more reliable, I suppose.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think the only negative which could happen is, like we were discussing on another call also earlier, some of us, that, there are companies which are focused on space debris tracking and clearing. So that is an ecosystem which will build up as a result of this. I think the only ones who would not have, the same life as what it is today is basically the stargazers, right? Because that's going to change. So I think anyone who wants to, you know, get your fill of the sky, you do it now, because in 10, 15 years, you won't have the same sky. So coming back to ISRO, and, you know, ISRO has been traditionally known to launch rockets which fall back to the Bay of Bengal, right? That's the image which has been cultivated even as late as, you know, possibly the early 2000s. I remember when I was a kid, I was growing up, I was in college. That was a standard joke, you know. So it's changed since then, and it's changed dramatically. I remember the Mangalyaan success, or even before that, the Chandrayaan 1 success, right? That was quite, you know, remarkable. And now with the whole foray into commercial launches and that becoming a huge component of ISRO's balance sheet, I think the story, the image ISRO is portraying to the rest of the world is completely different. But coming away from the commercial side, you know, the launch vehicle capabilities which are there, as opposed to the satellite development capabilities, which is there in many more countries, right? I mean, it's there even in colleges. We are going to use these launch vehicles, especially LVM3, to launch. You know, I think Chandrayaan 3 is coming up, and Gaganyaan, of course, the whole the biggest story for ISRO, I think, in its history for the in the near future. So what are the other big missions which we can watch out for, and approximately when are they going to be?
So firstly, it would be Gaganyaan, which is further delayed to February 2023.
I think it was planned in December 2022, right? And then I think initial calendar was 2020 itself, and then COVID happened and everything got pushed, so it's Feb 23 now. Okay,
correct. Then there would be again a OneWeb launch,
okay,
in Feb 2023.
Okay, so that's two of them in Feb itself. All right.
Correct. And then there would be...
I think Chandrayaan 3 is also expected sometime next year, right?
Chandrayaan 3 is also expected in around June
2023. Okay. And so it is a big it's a big calendar for them. And three of them, all of them are the LVM3 launches, right?
Correct, so, LVM3 launches.
And so this, what about the other big launch capabilities that ISRO currently has? Because SSLV wasn't a big success in the first attempt, right? I think that didn't work out too well. So is there an SSLV launch coming up very soon?
Yeah, SSLV launch will probably come up in December, I guess. And ISRO is kind of known for... ISRO is known for getting their first launches failed, mostly. Because if we talk about PSLV, the first launch of PSLV was failed. If we talk about GSLV, first launch of GSLV was also failed. So, yet after that, the recover ISRO does is probably a good thing in the Indian space race. And... probably next SSLV launch will also be a good success.
Right, and looking forward to that. Because I remember, to your point, right, I remember watching the GSLV, the first GSLV launch, which I think happened in 2001 or 2002. And I remember watching it live on Doordarshan was broadcasting that, was telecasting that. And it was a high-profile coverage, and... the countdown went down to one, and then, you know, we heard the mission abort command which came up, because I think it wasn't developing enough thrust or something like that. So that had to be aborted there, and quite a heartbreak that was for, you know, young people who were watching it for the first time, for watching a launch for the first time. I think it's again one of those remarkable launch vehicles which ISRO has developed. And of course, PSLV, like you said, the first one was a failure, and I think after that they've rarely had failures. It's apparently one of the most successful launch vehicles in history across space agencies.
Yes.
Which clearly shows in, you know, the kind of reliability, kind of trust which other space agencies have in sending their, you know, expensive satellites to be launched by the Indian, you know, launch vehicles, right? So I think the future is obviously bright, and the credit is entirely to the, you know, the geniuses who sit in, you know, the various ISRO centers.
Yes.
And it's nice to know that that's the aspiration. You also have to join them eventually. So yes. That's pretty interesting. So any last words on this? You know, the way it's come up, the GSLE LVM3 the program which has come up, and what's going on next, and so on. Anything which you are looking forward to anything which you'd want to experience personally, or you think you'd advise the rest of us to, you know, have a personal experience on?
Yeah, so obviously India's biggest launch vehicle, GSLV Mark III, I would also recommend, and I would also like to experience it personally once launching into space, and mostly for Gaganyaan, because that is like a dream mission for India. Also, SSLV, which is the first, I really don't know if we can go to SSLV launches, but if we can, that would be a big thing, because witnessing the first successful launch of SSLV, which is a very big launch vehicle for India and would bring in more opportunities, would be very prestigious.
Right, that's true. Is there any collaboration that is being done on these launch systems from across the world? As in, it's definitely, I mean, the GSLV program itself was a phenomenal thing because it was indigenously developed, especially the cryo stage, right?
Correct.
Also, I think one of the most important parts of a movie which came out recently. So, is there anything, especially with Mark III, is there anything else which is, any other country which is also involved in it in terms of, you know, building capabilities?
Mostly Russia would be involved. I am really not sure about this, but as in the background of Russia is very helpful to ISRO. Also, adding on to the help Russia has done, the Gaganyaan space shoots will be designed by Russia, which would be an iteration of Soyuz space shoots. And yeah, so mostly Russia might have been into this.
That's true. Roscosmos has been a very strong partner. I think even the astronaut, or the Vyomonauts trainings was done in Russia, right? So
I think
the four candidates had returned a few months ago from there. Correct. And the setting up of the astronaut training center, the Vyomonaut training center, also is being done in collaboration with them, I think. So it's an interesting partnership there. So yeah, so I think this is something which we are all looking forward to, and seeing what's the next big news which ISRO can create. And pretty much, you can kind of be assured that it's going to be with the LVM3, because that is going to launch the most powerful of the most significant spacecraft and satellites which are going to go up. So February 2023 is the next launch of LVM3. That's what you said.
Yes.
And let's see. Let's look forward to that and hope to have more successes in that front. So Naman, thanks for this conversation. I think we'll have many more such conversations, but a lot of interesting insights on ISRO and its and the space exploration which they are doing. So let's have more conversations. Thanks for this.
Thank you for adding me, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.